That's my height. Nah, just kidding. I grew a little. Good evening. Welcome. On behalf of the Vietnamese Seventh-day Adventist Church, we'd like to welcome everybody to our... This is our evangelist series we're doing monthly, bi-monthly. And so we're just happy to see you all here, and I'm very thankful that you're all here. Let me get something else. You know, speaking of water that David said is very interesting... imagine you went home tonight. This is what happened. That's what's happening in the East Coast right now. You guys know the Hurricane Sandy, right? Yeah. A lot of people in New York, they didn't think, you know, like, psh, no way, we're New Yorkers. No, there's no such thing as hurricane in the city. But yet, it's happening. And I'm very sure people are wondering what's going on. There's crazy earthquakes, there's tsunamis, there's hurricanes and everything. And it's hard to believe it, but things are happening, and a lot of people are asking, are we coming closer to an end? And that's the message of our title. It's 2012, is it really the end of the world, and how close are we? You see, the world we live in, with all the disasters, it seems like something is happening, and there is something going on. And some people even say, it might be the end very shortly, but what does it all mean? And so we're going to see, first off, the Mayan calendar. They have a calendar that indicates people said it might be the last day in history. You guys know what day that they say according is to be? Oh, I put that on the slide? I didn't. I was supposed to quiz you out. December 21st, like two more months and we go perish. According to what people say. Now, do you think it's true?
No.
Okay, all right. I'm not going to say. We're going to find out tonight what God has to say. Now, recently, a man named Harold Camping, he predicted that May 21st last year was the end of the world. That was wrong. We're still here. And then after that, he said, oh, no, it's October 21st, 2011. And you see, the problem is, Harold Camping, though he claims to be a Christian, sometimes we don't want to let that ruin our experience of the Christianity. Don't let what Harold Camping has said make you disbelieve in God or the Christianity Bible. In Matthew 24, verse 36, this is the reason we cannot set dates. This is the reason we cannot predict times. Because this, but that day, which is the end, when the second coming, an hour, no one knows, even not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Sadly, Harold Camping made a lot of people disappointed in God, in Christianity, and they stopped believing. But again, don't let a false prophet claims who be Christian destroy your image. It doesn't represent all of Christianity. Amen? There's more to that. Don't let his experience make you think that's what God is like. No, there's more to God and there's more to Christianity. So is it the end of the world? And how close are we? You don't have to be a Bible scholar, a theologian, because news magazines... Newsweekly, Time Magazine, as you can see, these are intelligent people, as you can see on that one. They're committed to save the world. Even Time Magazine says, is it the end of the world? And people are dedicated to apocalypse themes and everything. So not just popular culture that are interested in apocalypse studies, even in scholars, in universities. Bernard McGinn of University of Chicago, of Divinity, he says, over the past 30 years, more scholars has been devoted to apocalypticism, which is last day events, than in the last 300 years. Something's going on. You don't need to be religious. You don't need to know the Bible. Other people, professors, teachers, they're not religious. They're scientists. They're not religious. But they see something's going on, and they want to know the answers to. They can make believe, guess on their own, but God has something, a plan that is much more secured. And that's what we're going to study tonight. So I believe the Bible alone can give us compelling and true answer about what's going on in the world today. Obama, or what's the other guy? I don't care. I'm not into politics too much. See, politicians do not have the answer. You know, they might have some of the answer, and they do their best. But they do not have the ultimate answer. What do you say? Amen? Can somebody say amen?
Amen?
Amen. We can't trust those people. We can't trust human overall. Because, you know, people has always been telling us, oh, you say, see, he, second coming. There's always been earthquake. There's always been natural disasters. There's always been wars and everything. Oh, religious talk, religious talk. Brothers and sisters, friends, I was not religious. I my whole family's Buddhist. And even when I did not believe in Christianity, I was not religious at all, going to church or even temple. I know something's going on. Something strange is happening. And you know, many people are asking what's going on. And many people will agree that something is happening. And we're going to study what is happening today. See, I'm a business guy. And when you make an investment, you don't want to make on a... like if I invested in Harold Camping, his predictions are like, well, 0%. You know, they're not true. I used to believe in Nostradamus. Anybody know who that is? This guy, he makes predictions, and like 40% of it comes true. You see, I cannot, as a business guy, I can't do those kind of investment. They're not profitable. But I want to invest something that is sure and 100%, and that is the Bible. Amen? I believe this is 100%. There's prophecies telling us our world history up to today and what's going to happen in the future. And this is what I can base my faith on. One out of 25 verses in the New Testament deals with the second coming. Bible prophecy tells us about the past. And news anchor people on the news tell us about the present. But only God can tell us about the future. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Amen. And God has asked us to look out for signs. What are the signs that are coming in the end of time? So again, let's look in Revelation, New Testament. If you have your Bible, please go with me to Revelation 16:15. For the sake of time, I will read it up here, but you can turn there if you please. It says, "Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keep his garments, lest he walk naked and see his shame." Folks, this part, naked, is not talking about physical nakedness, but spiritual nakedness. A lot of us are not putting on the spiritual aspect of the clothing. But we're not focusing on the naked or not naked part. We're focused on what? The watching part, right? There's another verse in the New Testament. And that verse, it is in Matthew 24:42. It says, what did it say? Watch. Watch, therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. That is Matthew. And another verse we can see again. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 4 and 6. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day, the end times, should overtake you as a thief. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. You see, these verses, what do we see over and over? We're watching, we're watching, we're watching. See, and be sober, it means be sober-minded. Be serious in the times we're living in. As you can see in 1 Peter, even Peter says so. But in the end, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious, be very serious, and watchful in your prayers. Brothers and sisters, Paul says to watch. John says to watch. Peter says to watch. And Jesus to watch. But the question is, what are we watching for? Right? We read, watch, watch. Okay, watch. What are we watching? Thanks for asking. We're going to look at that. Matthew 24. Jesus gives us two analogies, two symbologies that we can go to. How many analogies? Two of them. One of them, you can see in Matthew 24, verse 8, it says, all these things are the beginning of birth pains. Birth pains. So we're going to explore what that means. All these signs, all these hurricane disasters are beginning of birth pain. Now, I'm not a woman, obviously. I don't know anything about that. But I understand that when you have a child, the more contractions is the closer to the time you deliver, right? And so just like these disasters, the more we see it, the more we know of it, it's the beginning, and that is the beginning birth thing. Another illustration Jesus used is in Matthew chapter 24, verse 32 and 33. Now learn this lesson. Oh, Jesus is giving us a lesson. What is the lesson? From the fig tree. So, like, this is not a tree, but we're using, as soon as its twig get tender and its leaf come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see all these things, all these signs that I'm going to show you, you know that it is near, right at the door. When we see the leaves outside, they turn from green to yellow to orange to red. What season are we seeing? Fall. And so Jesus is saying, look at these signs. They're changing. They're coming. They're closer. Out of these signs, we can list three things to it. First, it's visible. That's not the best picture of a pregnancy, but you get the point. It's visible. People can see what's going on. You can see the leaves changing. It's visible. These signs, progressive. They're getting more intense, more frequency, just like a mother giving birth, and climatic. It's a huge event. It's like the whole season, right? It's a huge event. And just like somebody coming out to this world, it's an event. And so these signs are visible. We can see them. They are progressive and they are climatic. We are tonight, just four different places we're going to look. We're going to look into the signs of the time in the religious world, in the political world, in the natural world, and in the social world. What do you say? Amen. Let's explore it. If you have your Bible, let's go to Matthew 24. Matthew 24, that's where we're going to spend most of our time this evening. I'm reading from the New King James Version. When you get to Matthew 24, would you say amen? So I know you're there.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, I can't say amen yet. Hold on. I only got two hands. Oh, it's up there, huh? Okay. But I like to have it out with me. Now, this scene is basically the disciples. They go up to Jesus and they ask him, Jesus, what will the end be like? Can you tell us? And we're going to start in verse 3. We're going to start in verse 3. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us when these signs will be and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of age. And so, first thing, we're going to look in the religious world. Jesus addressed in verse 3, tell us what is the sign of the age. Verse 4, it says, and Jesus answered to them, take heed that no one deceives you. No one deceives you, for many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. Deceive twice. It's very important when the Bible says something twice, you want to pay attention to that. And many people are deceived. The problem is, they're not deceived, not knowing. They don't know they're being deceived. You understand? If they knew what is right, they would not be deceived. But a lot of people are not studying their Bible, and they are deceived. Let's take an example for the first, this guy, Jose Luis de Jesus Miranda. I practiced that four times. Jose Luis de Jesus Miranda. This man, he has 5 to 10 million followers. And you know what? He says he is the Christ. He's Jesus walking around in Florida. They're believing him. Okay, I don't know how that works, but people, they are sold. Maybe his speech, his charismatic, the way he talks, people are sold, and they really believe he's Jesus Christ. Sincerely, he's interviewed on Fox, CNN, NBC, and a lot of news. And when he's being interviewed, they ask, are you Jesus Christ? He's like, yes, I am Jesus Christ. So they believe him. On his website, it says, with over 30 countries already reached, more than 350 educational centers, his own TV and radio satellite channels, 300-plus TV and radio programs, an entourage of 300-plus faithful pastors, and a ministry of millions of followers growing in numbers every day. The nations are shaking as he, the man, Christ Jesus, is leading the biggest reform the world has ever seen. That's weird. We know that's strange, but a lot of people are falling for this. We're not sure. They're being deceived. How could this man, who was a former heroin addict, who spent time in prison, got so many people to follow him? They're not spending time in the word of Jesus Christ. And this is just one example. There's so many more. Another example, as you can see on the next slide. Jim Jones. Jim Jones was He led a lot of group in the San Francisco area, in California. He convinced other people that he was Jesus Christ. And they loved him so much, and they follow him all the way to Guyana, which is in South America, I believe. And they drank poison Kool-Aid, and they said that's supposed to give them eternal life. A lot of people died, and people are being deceived. Another example is Charles Manson. He convinced also people that he was Jesus Christ, that there's no second coming. He already came. And people were ready to kill for his name and died in his honor. And a lot of people died a devastation through his cult followers. These people are being tricked, false representation, and don't know the Bibles. And that's why in Matthew also, chapter 24, verse 24 to 26, for false Christs, people who say they're Jesus Christ, false prophet will rise. We're seeing more and more each day and show great signs and wonders. They're showing miracles. They're healing people. How can you not believe that, right? They're showing signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you. Jesus has told us beforehand, be careful. There's going to be more and more people who claim to be religiously Christ. Therefore, if I say to you, look, Jesus warned us. If I say to you, look, he's in the desert, do not go out. Amen? Look, he is in the inner rooms. Look, he's in San Gabriel. Look, he's in Pasadena. Do not believe it. And it continues. It doesn't continue. We'll go there. It's okay. So, if somebody's saying there's the Christ, will you believe it?
No
way. Amen. I'm glad you're here, because somebody will deceive you. Somebody's going to bring a friend who is sick and they will heal them, and you're going to believe it. You might believe it. I'm warning you, Jesus says, that is not true. Test them by the word and test them by the Bible. Amen? And okay, now we look into the political world. We look at the religious world, and Jesus shows a sign in the political world. In verse 6 of Matthew chapter 24, it says, and you will hear wars and rumors of war. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nations will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. An atheist philosopher, Friedrich Nietzsche, at the end of the 1800s, he looked at the 20th century. He's an atheist, by the way, okay? Atheist is no, never would believe in God. And he even says he convinced a lot of people not to believe in God. And then even he himself says, if nobody believes in God, then the 20th century will be the bloodiest century in human history. And he was right. In the 20th century, more was killed in the last century than in the previous 20th century combined. 203 million died as a result of war in the 20th century. Hiroshima, if you remember in Japan, one atomic bomb on the September 6th, 60,000 was killed. Nagasaki, September 9, 1945, 73,884 was killed. And as of today, there's about 8 countries with no nuclear weapons have enough warheads to kill all the human race 50 times over in less than an hour, probably even more countries that we don't even know about. So these are increasing more and more. Brothers and sisters, as you can see, it's not just the war itself, but you see it more rapidly, more intense, more frequently. Now let's look at the natural world. Verse 7b, it says, and there will be famines, pestilence, and Californians? Earthquakes in various places. All these things are the beginning of, or what's another word for sorrow? Birth pains? Come on. Birth pains, right? You see more intense. It's all good. We're learning. I'm learning too. No problem. Now, famines. The UN reported 1/6 of the earth is experiencing famine, which means they are not having food. They go hungry. 50,000 to 90,000 starve to death daily. We see these as numbers, but those are real people a day. you know? And can you think of a worse way to die? You die because you didn't have food. You die because you didn't have water. There's a lot going on. And there's rapidly increasing agriculture lands. They can't produce enough crops. And remember the rice shortage we had like a few years ago. Things are coming together, and people are still wondering, what is all this chaos? The world population is also becoming unstable. Pestilence. There's the AIDS epidemic we recently have heard about. The SARS, Ebola, West Nile virus, mad cow. Yes. Good job. There you go. See, even he knows. He knows what's going on. Amen? He knows what's going on. All right. Good job, Kang. There's the mad cow. There's the bird flu, swine flu, and this new thing I saw on the bus the other day, aggressive Asian tiger mosquitoes. I don't know what that is, but these things are rising. And we probably haven't seen these things. Or these things are unheard of 10 to 15 years ago. See, rapidly increasing in... These outbreaks, people are fearing that it can cause an outbreak, and a lot of the time, our lifestyle, how we eat, heart diseases, and a lot of it are causing a lot of death. And God has saying these things are increasing, and you will see earthquakes. Let's look at earthquakes. Yes, Time Magazine. This is their quote: the number of known earthquakes and of deadly earthquakes has dramatically increased in the last 100 years or so. Check this chart out. It's very... So this chart shows like huge earthquake, like big. That's why it's on the chart. If you're not big, you're not on the chart. So let me see my shadow here. So right here, there's one big one. In the 1500, two. And then 1600, seven. 13, 26. Wait, don't click the slide. How many more you think? About, give me some numbers. If there's 26, I mean... 39? 52? Okay, let's click the slide. Oh, that's a lot, huh? So close, right? 36? 130, brothers and sisters. These are numbers. Numbers don't lie. Statistics don't lie. And we're seeing that happening. And after 1999, I found another chart. In the 2000 and up, you can see how much it increased. And I'll show you right here. This is 2000. As you can see, that was 1900 all the way to 2000. And after 2000, it tripled, double, quadruple. Something's happening. And we can see it. And that's just earthquake. Recently, Haiti. The next few slides are a lot of pictures. I want you to look at the pictures and realize how privileged we still have to be here. Look how many people are killed. Let's go back to the other slide. And one more. No. Okay, this one. No, I'm being very serious. This, I mean, just think about it. What does he tell to his son and to his two sons? And his cousins or whatever, children, we don't have a house. Next slide. This dog, I don't know the story, but maybe the dog has lost its owner and could smell the owner buried beneath those things. We're still privileged that we're still here, that we could hear God warning us that he's coming and turn to him. Continue, please. This is in China. In the midst of all this, what else can you do but pray? Amen? I mean, there's not much. Like, the police are busy and everybody's running all over. You can't do anything else but pray. This man, he just lost everything that he ever possessed. When I was doing this PowerPoint, it was really emotional for me as well, just to find this picture and share with you. And so, you see, these things are happening. More recent earthquakes, Samoa Islands, Pakistan, Chile, Japan, Peru, things are happening around the earth. Maybe we don't feel it here in California, but there it's happening. And again, there's nothing else you can do but turn to God and pray, because he is the comforter of peace in the midst of disasters. What about this verse? Let's check out this verse. Luke 21:25 and 26 in the ESV version. It says, And there will be signs in suns and moon and stars, and on the earth distress of nation in perplexity. Remember that word, perplexity, because the roaring of the sea and the waves. What does that sound like? Seas and waves are going crazy. What does it sound like? Tsunami, hurricane. Okay? People fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world. They're not sure, for the power of the heavens will be shaken. These are a collection of some of the Time magazines and other magazines that I have captured on the internet and find out. Again, magazines are all over these. That's the biggest issue. If you're on Time magazine, that's the issue that is important. And a lot of it parallel with the same topic. Hurricane Katrina, let's look at the stats. Category 3, which means the winds is 111 to 130 miles per hour. Your car can't go that fast legally, right? That's fast. And they said that's one of the 5 deadliest in the U.S., the 6th strongest hurricane overall. 1,833 plus people were killed and over $81 billion in damages. Look at that picture. I don't know. I can't describe as much as you can see. That used to be their stairs where they play. And the children run around. That was Hurricane Katrina. Hurricane Sandy. This is recent. Look, people in New York. This is real. I got this on Thursday right here. They're trapped. Their cars. They're supposed to be evacuated. But, you know, water are coming over. And another picture. This is another car that's being trapped. That's a lot of water for New York. This is all New York. That's the subways down there on that picture. It's full of water. Hurricane. They never expected this to happen, but things come. And they didn't want to believe. They didn't want to believe, but the truth happens. And it happens whether you believe it or not, it's coming. And this used to be a street. I don't see any street anymore. Full of water. People are drowning. And people are running from their areas. This is the city, the heart of New York, right? I mean, city with electronic and a lot of things. It's flooded. These are fresh pictures. I don't give you bad quality. I give you fresh picture. And you can see right here, tsunamis. Indian Ocean 2004 was considered the deadliest in history, like rank one. As you can see, these things are happening. In Joplin, Missouri, there was a tornado. The deadliest in history, the 7th deadliest in history. We're hitting record highs. We're hitting intense, deadliest tornadoes and disasters. This is Japan, as you all know. Nations of cities and house. And weird weather patterns. This is the Chicago storm. Snowpocalypse, they call it. Full of snow. Strange weather. That means something's going on. After a tornado, that's all you have, is love and each other when there's nothing else you can do. Check this picture out. It's very interesting. This is Google Maps before and after. Same street. You see? There's a house. There's trees. Oh, nice. And after, your car, you know. It breaks my heart to see these things, that they are happening. Nothing else to do. You really can't go anywhere, right? You don't have a car. You can't just drive off to see a friend. And maybe that's the time God is speaking to your heart. Does it have to take that much for God to speak to your heart? This is in Japan. She's probably lost, and there's no family members left. The pictures speak more than I can even describe. And so when we can't cling on anything else to the world, we can't cling on other people, we can't cling, the only thing we can cling to God is God. Amen? People are looking for answers and a place they can turn to in the midst of this chaos, in the destruction and the storm. God is trying to prepare us for something even greater than this world can ever offer. All the things this world gives you, one day it's going to be gone. That's why he says, watch these things, they're coming. What about the social world? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. But know this, that in the last days, I think we're living in the last days, because if you see these things, you know you're living in the last days. In the last days, perilous perplexity times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. These are the characters of our world today. There's increase in violence, and people are mad. They don't know what's going on. There's a lot of chaos. They don't know what to do. And they're rioting. There's protests in Egypt, Libya, and people are just, it looks like the end of the world to them. We're not seeing it because we live here in the U.S., but it's happening. It's so surreal. People are turning to other things. This is the London riot. It got so bad. It's just a riot, right? It got so bad that the building burned up and she had to jump down because some crazy riot people started lighting it up on fire. And people are protesting against a lot of things, and they're happening. People are living for pleasure, and there's more violent music. There's violent video games. The games now are so surreal. A lot of games, you notice, they're all about shooting. They're guns and everything. Violent movies, TV shows, and we seek those things for pleasure, and we do those things in the media to distract us from what is happening. We don't want to face what's happening, but God says, you got to face it one way or the other. Shootings happen, and that's the result. Columbine, Virginia Tech, people go off shooting other students. You can't really explain that. Well, you can, because of all the things they're influenced by. And recently, as we know, the Dark Knight premiere, the movie, some guy just went, I mean, you're trying to have a good time watching a movie with your loved ones, and he starts shooting. Things are getting out of hand, out of proportion. And friends, I'm not showing these things to basically telling you to scare you off. No, I hate it when people, like, scare you into something. You know what I'm saying? Yeah? And you know, I know everyone is a reasonable and intelligent individual, and you can think for yourself. So I want you to make a reasonable and intelligent choice where you can place your trust. What I'm presenting to you are facts, and facts don't lie. The numbers don't lie. Statistics speak for itself, and they speak the truth. Whether you accept the truth, you run away from it, it's still the truth. And it doesn't change the truth. God is still God. Amen? Whether you believe in him or not, he's still saying, I love you, and I want a better life for you. He is still the truth, whether you accept it or not. And things are happening all around us. These signs are coming together. And God is calling you today. Do you trust him in the midst of all this? He wants to give you peace. The true God, this true God, is none like other gods that you worship. Who else can you turn to in the midst of everything? And the greatest sign of all, out of all the signs, this is the last sign he wants us to know. But he who endures until the end, would you say with me, let's endure until the end, shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the nations, and then the end shall come. I have good news, because God sees, you know, basically the world is going down this way, but God is building up his kingdom. And he's spreading the gospel all over the world so that you can be safe, so they could have a chance. Everybody has a chance to be safe. So is the end very near? It is. But we can, in a world that is uncertainty, the Bible provides certainty. Amen? In the world that is so chaotic, we don't have peace, God can give us a peace that this world cannot give or take away. There's always been earthquakes. There's always been famines and pestilence. But remember the two illustrations. They were one that's like birth pains, and the other one was the changes in season. And you see these things getting closer, more intense. And it's not that we see something new. There's nothing new under the sun. But you see the same old sign at the record level, at the highest it's ever been, maximum volume, very close to each other, very intense, and that's the world we live in. But again, I have said we have good news. And that good news, it could be found right here. The woman when she is in labor, has sorrows because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. Therefore, you now have sorrow. You have a lot of anxiety. You have a lot of stress. But I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice. And your joy, no one can take from you. What do you say? Amen. 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 Beloved, this is not our home. God has told us that he will go and prepare a place for you. And where he go, he will be with you, and he will come again and take you into his own. This is not our home. We have a better home. Jesus came the first time, like he promised, and he's going to come a second time. Amen? I can put my trust in that. I can't trust anybody else. I can't trust humanity in their promises, because promises are like ropes of sand. They fall apart. There's a story of Jimmy. And Jimmy's a little kid, you know. He's building his sandcastle. And basically, he's into it. He's just building. He's doing all the detail, taking care of it. And other people, they started walking away. He's still there building his sandcastle. And the reason people walk away is because they know there's a storm coming, a big wave. Well, Jimmy doesn't really notice the storm, or he, I guess, ignores it. But when he started building all that, the storm came and wiped his sandcastle away and drowned the whole thing. And just like some of us, we're building things in this world. Maybe I'm not saying it's a bad thing. You're building your career and house, but focus on winning souls, and you can trust on him. Because your car, as you can see, your car, you have a nice car. Next day, it's gone, right? Destruction comes. So don't place your values on material things, because one day that will go away. Place on your values on eternal things. Amen? That will last longer than anything. When all this is taken away, what can you stand on? Where will you put your trust? And God has invited us to stand on his solid rocks.